Hello, Fight Insight fans, viewers, and listeners. I am the Filipino podcasting machine, Princey D, and with me as always, Timmy B. Before we get started, please remember to follow and subscribe to us on YouTube and wherever you get your pods to watch our very, very exciting content. On today's podcast, we talk to the fighter representing the United States in the 1FC Autumn Weight Grand Prix. We recap BKFC's PVZ versus Ostovich. Main event, we talk about the importance of having a brutally honest corner, the Olympics, pick our fighters for our weekly fight on site, and a whole lot more. Tim, hit it.
Yes, Timmy B, Princey D, Fight in Sight. Yeah.
All right, today we have a very exciting guest. We have from the United States, she's coming to us from Miami. But she is a former Invicta fighter. She's an atomweight fighter. And as Prince said, she's representing the United States in the very anticipated, highly anticipated 1FC Atomweight Grand Prix, where the winner gets a title shot against their champion, Angela Lee. This is a huge thing. We are extremely happy to have coming to us from Miami. We have Elise.
Elise! Little Savage Anderson.
Pow, pow.
Wow, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
How's it going, Elise? How are you?
Awesome. That was like a perfect introduction, too.
Yes.
It sounded good.
At least you know what? I was practicing that the whole day. I was mixing a little bit of buffer, a little bit of me. And man, my throat's been sore the whole day through just because I've been screaming out your name. Elise, Elise, Elise. Little Savage.
It was a 10 out of 10.
Oh. All right. Well, we'll just end the podcast now. Prince, it's not going to get better for you now. So see you later.
Elise, what do you want for Christmas? I'm sending it over.
Elise, you are an atomweight fighter. And a lot of people will probably know you from Invicta. I was a huge Invicta fan. I love watching the Invicta fights, especially back when you were there. It's developed so many great female fighters. And I know, you know, I heard you on the Sex and Violence podcast with Ashley Evans-Smith, who was one of our guests. She was great. You were great on that podcast. During that podcast, you were talking about the potential for the UFC to bring open an atomweight division. And it never happened, and it still hasn't happened.
Oh my gosh, did I talk about that? I got to re-listen to that. I know I even talked about that.
No, but I think the fans really want an atomweight division because there are so many great atomweight fighters. And then next thing I know, here comes the Atomweight Grand Prix and you're there as like, you know, and Prince, you know, there's eight different girls from all different countries. That's what's so cool. And then Elise Anderson is the United States representative. So Elise, how did that happen? Like, how did you get hooked up with one?
Well, I actually was holding out for the UFC for a long time. And obviously, I don't even know when I did Ashley's podcast, but I actually am friends, like became kind of friends with Dana White. So we had talked about it and he just, you know, kind of told me like right now there's just not enough girls. And I told him about this one contract and he's like, honestly, like with this kind of money and like this kind of deal for you to be able to quit your job, like, he told me to take it, and when I got the green light from him, which was kind of him telling me, like, you know, we're probably not opening up your division right now, I was like, okay, I'm going to take it. And, you know, like, I'm not supposed to say, like, talk about the UFC on, like, any one interviews and stuff because, okay. Like, they don't like that, but I don't care. And, yeah, I was just like, you know, this is a good opportunity for me to like test myself against the best of the best in this division. I mean, these are possible girls I could be fighting if the UFC did open up a division. So like, why not get the experience now and be able to quit my job back home in Michigan, move to train full time, and it all came together really quickly. And that's just how it happened, I guess.
No, that's awesome. And for those that don't know, you were a full-time EMT, right?
Yep, working in it used to be a cardiac unit, and then right when COVID hit, they turned it into the COVID unit. So that was awful.
Shout out to all the nurses. Yeah. At least I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm also a nurse as well.
Shout out to you then, man. That yeah, our
Eds. At least so look, you see how most people don't even know about what other nurses do as a side gig. Like everyone's like, oh, the nurses, they just come in, save lives, and then go back into a closet, falls asleep, and then put on scrubs and go out. They go right, but they don't know that. Hey, look, you motocross, you MMA fighter, and you know it's all these things that we do for on a side gig, right? So that's amazing yeah. that you were able to do that. So.
I just hated when, like, the nurses would tell, because, like, I was kind of like a tech going into rooms, when the nurses would be like, oh, yeah, Elise is a pro fighter. I'd be like, no. I'd be stuck in the room forever, and I, like, always felt rude, like, leaving, so, like, as they're, and then you hear, like, 100 colleagues going off, and they're like, you're pretty, your parents, and you're, how can you let that? And it's usually older people, because it was a cardiac unit. I was like, whoever told them I am not answering your call-outs for the rest of the night. Like, you can do your own stuff. I was so mad.
At least whenever you go into the cage, right, do you ever, like, stand in the ring when you're face-to-face with somebody and be like, man, this guy's got really good veins. I could put a 22 gauge IV on this person right away. I'll knock you out first. I'll do it after. Do you ever do that? Do you ever?
Not anymore. No, because like no one I fought has been like jacked yet.
Oh.
But when I I've helped like Felice Harry get ready for fights, and you know, like even Rachel, and like that's how I tell by how like dehydrated they are, and I'm like, you can still cut more, like. You're fine.
Yeah, they can't pull anything by you, right? You're like, no, I know you're not. Speaking of that,
like checking their fingers.
Nice. So speaking of that, though, I mean, for those that may have not known you before this, Elise, I was watching, of course, as was like millions of people watching BKFC last weekend, and I never knew, and there you were, pa-pow.
Oh yeah, that's me. Oh,
you're right. Hey. And I mean,
yeah, that's me.
And so you were there in Rachel, not in her corner, but you were like front row with her. But you were spending the whole week with her, like you were her like a training partner, or what were you doing? Are you just friends, or how did that work?
So yeah, we're just friends. We've been friends for a while ever since, because we have the same management. So like 2 years ago, we met on like a trip to Florida where they brought 10 girls together, and they called it like Super 10. And we went on a yacht for this hair company, but that's like where I met her. And then me, Rachel, and Tracy Cortez just became like really tight after that trip. We like went to Vegas a couple times, like just to hang and train. And then, so like a month ago at the bare knuckle fight, they flew Rachel out for like this little press conference and to watch the fight, but they flew her out by herself. And I was like, well, I live in Miami. Like, I'll just go meet you there, so you're not by yourself. Like, so I went to that with her like a month ago, and we got to like watch her first time watching bare knuckle fight. And we were kind of like, oh shit, this is kind of crazy, but whatever. We kind of got to see like what it was going to be like. But then her fight was in Tampa, which was like a 4-hour drive from Miami. And so my manager was like, I'll fly to Miami and pick you up, because he knows I hate driving on the highway. So nice. He picked me up, and then we spent like the whole fight week with her. And then when she had to cut weight, we went to this gym and only girls could go in the sauna. And she had her sister and her dad, because it was like in the girls' locker room. She had her sister and her dad and her brother with her. But and her sister was like in the sauna for 20 seconds. And she was like, oh, you just guys let me know when you need me. So like I was in there with the stopwatch being like, all right. And then like I would call her sister when she needed to like literally be carried out of the sauna.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
that will not be my responsibility to physically. I'm not dropping you. That's not going to be on my conscience if I ruin the main event. Yeah. So, yeah, I did the whole sauna with her. I jogged in flip-flops because I am an idiot and forgot my running shoes. So I did 4 miles on a treadmill next to her in flip-flops.
Nice.
And, yeah, and then – and Rachel's just, like, a super sweet girl. Like, if you guys have met her, she's, like, super sweet. And she was, like, super – to me, it was, like, that's just, like, what I had to do. But she, her whole family was super appreciative that, like, we got her on weight and stuff, and that, like, I was in the sauna with her. So, nice. You know, they, and we were staying at the same hotel. So her dad ended up, like, holding pads for me the whole week I was there. And,
nice.
Bare Knuckle took good care of, like, me and my manager by giving us, like, all access pass so we could, like, go in the cage in the back room. And, she said she was so happy I was there because otherwise she can be kind of mean to her family when she's cutting weight, just like we all can be. You know?
Yeah.
Sure. So, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome.
I was so happy to see her get that win.
Holy cow. Elise, a BKFC crowd is insane. Like, it's a different environment. I mean, I've never been to one in person, but watching it on TV, it's a intense environment. How was it being there? I mean, obviously, like, watching that main event, was the did the crowd know Ostovich was winning? Like, you could kind of tell, right?
I didn't get to watch really the other fights because we were, like, in the back with her, but I did want to watch the influencer fight, so I asked my manager to come walk. And of course, like, and me and Rachel were there when, like, Hector Lombard got into that fight. The last one. So, yeah. Like, we were both like, okay, this is kind of crazy. Like you don't see that happen that much at the UFC. People aren't just, like, flying in. There's a lot more security. So I was there when, like, Blueface and all those people started. And I literally look over my manager because people are, like, running into me trying to get into the cage. And he's, like, so relaxed. He's literally just like this, like, looking up. And I'm like, okay, I'm a little worried. You obviously don't care, but I'm getting nervous.
Yeah.
So I I'm just going to video it.
The guy that came in on the Blueface, that was, like, it wasn't another fighter. It was just a fan or something?
Yeah, it was a fan. That's what
I guess it was a fan of the guy that lost.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just saw all these people storming the ring and was like, okay, just get my phone out. It will help my TikTok.
Elise, weren't you ever worried, like, when you're inside the ring, that somebody would just all of a sudden, like, out of nowhere call you out and just push you, like, in the middle of the ring while the camera's going off and start something? Because I feel like with BKFC, it's all about, like, the drama and people picking up fights. I know, you know, it might be planned, but who knows, right?
I don't think, like, that stuff was planned.
Like, there I would be, because I saw it happen before at, like, the event before, but I mean, I was just like, I thought I was ready for it when they announced Rachel lost. I was glad that Paige kind of stormed out, because I feel like that could have been, and, like, I hate her management team, so I was, like, looking at her manager the whole time, because if he came over to my manager, I didn't want my manager to get in trouble, so, like, I was ready to do whatever I had to do. But he just followed her out of the cage, or the ring, so it wasn't a big deal. But, like, I was prepared and staring at him the whole time. I was like, if he does one step over here, I'm going to step in front of him. One step.
Elise is wearing heels and a dress, and she's still ready to take the guy out. Like, you know, Elise, when was off, like, after the fact with the BKFC, like, it was such an exciting event and all that. How do you think it's that energy is going to transition when you go over to 1FC now? Because now in the Grand Prix, you're going to be fighting, assumedly it's going to be in Asia, right? Assumedly it would be in Singapore where they have the majority of their events. Have you ever been to a 1FC event? I know all of your professional fights have been in the United States. Have you ever been over there for a fight? Obviously not yours, but for someone else's?
Oh, nope. I've actually, like, never been out of the country except for, like, one time on spring break. I went to Cancun, but, like, all my friends say that doesn't count. So, like, I've never been really, like, to that far away to another country. So I feel like the energy that's going to transfer is like, I mean, Rachel was like, they said at the press conference, like an 1100 underdog. And I feel like that's like me going into the fight, especially against Itsuki, if they keep our matchup. Like, we haven't even really heard anything as fighters on, like, they say September, but we don't know the date. And it just keeps getting, because they can't do anything until, like, the Singapore government gives them the go ahead. Yeah. And so they've been waiting on that, which is fine. But I know, like, since I was supposed to fight in May, like, I know I'm the biggest underdog on the thing. And I think it's also because, like, I haven't fought for one. Like, nobody really knows who I am. And I feel like that's kind of how Rachel was. Like, nobody knew. They knew that she fought in the UFC, but she didn't have a bare knuckle fight. They didn't hype her up as much as they did Paige. And, like, just to see her overcome that adversity and, you know, like, it definitely pressured me. Like, I've been working my ass off since I got back just because, like, to see her, like, go to the floor, like, with happiness that she won. And she needed that win. Like,
She's
coming off these losses from the UFC, everyone telling her, oh, doping and OnlyFans and stupid stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And now to go beat Paige, like, that was just huge for her.
It was crazy. But so you have a huge opportunity. Like, here you are, you're the United States representative. For people that don't know, your current matchup that's listed is against the Japanese fighter Itsuki Harada. Am I saying that right? I think so. And she has a couple of fights in ONE FC. She's like energetic, whatever. But yeah, you're like kind of coming in there an unknown, but you have like a huge opportunity, right? And I feel like as you going over as the United States representative, it's almost like you have a huge opportunity to build your brand over there as like a ONE FC fighter. I mean, how has your social media changed or anything? Like, once you were announced as being in there, like, have you seen any kind of like fans from overseas joining in and wondering who you are?
At least go ahead. You know what I was going to say? It's the Grand Prix turned into like a modern day blood sport. Have you seen Bloodsport with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
No, I probably should. I'm like so bad with that stuff.
At least
I
know, you got
it. I'm so, I will watch it. I'm so bad at knowing like any references.
No, but Lisa, you got to watch it before you get into the Grand Prix because it's technically the same thing. Everyone's coming in together from different countries. You're representing USA. Everyone's, you know, all the cards are stacked against you, and you're going to go in there and your final bout, you're going to have to fight the person blindfolded.
If the underdog doesn't win in this, you're going to get like a really mean DM from me. Like, I can't.
No, but okay. But so when you go over to Asia, right, like your first time, that's going to be quite the experience for you. So when you do hear when the fight is going to be announced, how early will you go over there? Because you have to adjust to the time difference, the culture difference, like just the whole vibe, right? Like, how long do you know how long you'll go in advance?
Because my coaches can't leave because like of the gym, I honestly want to get there like just like a regular normal fight week. And I used to work 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. So I'm like really good at adjusting fast. So like it's like nothing like that. I did that for 5 years. So I can adjust quickly.
Elise, I just got to say something. All right. Like, listen, in all your IG photos, how do you keep your hair so like, how do you keep the nice pH balance? Everything is, you come out of your motocross helmet and it's like your hair is all immaculate. And then in your scrubs, I'm assuming it's a day shift or a night shift and your hair is perfect. How do you keep it so like, you know, how do you keep the nice pH balance? Maybe you were born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline.
It's probably, I tell my friend to just keep hitting the button and they take like 8,000 photos and then I go through and I'm like, That was decent.
Nice, like, nice.
Just don't stop hitting it. And it's usually guys at the dirt bike track that aren't even looking. And I'm like, you have to make sure I'm in focus, okay? You have to at least look. And they're like, this is so stupid. And I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, very
we
do important.
It until we get it right.
Yeah, very important. I have actually learned that lesson myself, Elise, when I'm on the beach with my wife And she's like, okay, this is the photo. I made that mistake several times. I would take like two, and then she would walk on over. Oh, bad news, Elise. I would show her. She'd bad go, news. That's it. Take more. And then now I learned, you're right. You just go as fast as you can.
But us guys
move a little, you just find like that right one.
Yeah, I'm getting good at it though. I'm getting good.
But us guys, it's like we've been born with this gift to take really bad pictures. Like you see, okay, hon, okay, here, hon, take a pic. Okay, right, take a pic. And literally the pictures are like this. Hi, guys.
Yeah, you wish it was that good. Elise, for people that don't know you and have not seen you fight before, when you get to that Grand Prix and you're fighting, what can they expect when they watch an Elise Little Savage Anderson fight?
I feel like I get the Little Savage from like being kind of savage in fighting. Like I'm definitely a pressure forward fighter. If I get hit, I immediately fire back. I think that I will gain a lot of fans once I go over there because I'm exciting to watch because I do have heavy hands, especially for the smaller weight class. And I'm just like a pressure all in kind of fighter.
Nice. And your walkout music, you know, the one thing I'll say about ONE FC that they do really well compared to other organizations is their whole entrance thing. They have the cool big screens.
They won't even let me pick a walkout song.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Okay. I don't know. They like told me I get to pick a genre. I was like,
okay, hold on. I'm telling you. So when we were posting for fan questions on our Instagram, I found the perfect song for you. It's called Pretty Savage and it's by Blackpink. So it's a K-pop group. Do you know them?
No.
They had a song with Selena Gomez, like just like last year, the ice cream one. Anyways, that's that.
I'll have to check out.
Because right,
I usually always walk out to God's Plan by Drake. And when they said like you have to pick a genre, I was like, I'm liking this less and less as I get more information.
No, but Blackpink is like a huge K-pop band. They had a Netflix documentary. Anyways, and they have a song called
Pretty. I love documentaries. I would actually watch that. I love documentaries.
So go find that. It's on Netflix. I think it's probably called Blackpink. And they sing the song. It's called Pretty Savage. And it's like perfect for your name. So anyways, if you can.
I don't like, oh my God, she thinks she's pretty. Like,
no, there's always I think it means like pretty aggressive. Like it means like not pretty pretty. I think it means like super savage. I think that's
okay.
At least Ian, this is what I think. Whoever's coming with you to the Grand Prix, just before they play the music, just grab the microphone, shut off the music, whatever they're playing, and just God's plan. Just have Jake come in the background. Like, who cares? That's why they call you Little Savage, because you're a savage. Just go in there, you know, right?
Yeah.
But one's like supposed to be all about respect and stuff, and it's like. Okay, but then how come she's talking shit about me in interviews?
Who is
the girl I'm fighting?
She
like said that. I mean, like, I get that she has to answer like the questions because we reached like three podcasts and like interviews a week, like right before like when it was supposed to be May 28th. And so, like, one, I was just like. Like, I saw the headline because I don't know what she's saying because it's all Japanese. So it was like translated. And it said that she thinks she has the advantage because of her youth and that she has youth on her side. And I was like, I'm 26 years old. Like, you think I'm like some old woman? Like, I've been fighting longer than you. Like, it didn't make any sense to me. So I was whatever.
Yeah.
So Elise, listen, this is your moment. So then say what you got to say now. You're on Fight Insight. People are going to watch this. Call her out.
Yeah.
I think I already did. I already said it like in the next interview. I was like, that just means she's mature. Because they asked what I thought about her dancing into the cage. And I was like, that goes with her being young. Like if she wants to be an immature, like, sure. Like, I don't know how old she is now. I already forgot since the last time I looked up her typology, but I was like, I mean, if I was like 19, I would think that's cool too, but I'm not, I'm a grown up. So
No, you're a professional fighter focused on the fight.
I'm not going to be like twerking when I get in the cage, sticking my tongue out. Like, I think that's ridiculous, but it's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. All right, Elise, we're going to get to some fan questions. Okay. I eliminated some of the bad ones, Elise. So,
oh my gosh, there are bad ones?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with people, Elise. Okay, there's a page, Unwrapped MMA. They asked how you got your Little Savage nickname, but you've already kind of explained that. But I do want to give a shout out to Unwrapped MMA.
And Jens Pulver gave it to me, who's Little Evil.
Oh, okay.
He's Little Evil, so he calls me Little Savage.
Hey. Oh,
damn. Nice. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's because you're savage, but he gave it to you. That's cool, man. All right. This one is a funny one, and I actually have a photo to go with this question. Danny underscore Egres. It's not bad. I don't have a photo. Okay.
Danny underscore Egres
says, what is the reason she ties shoelaces around her ankle? I need answers! !
Oh my gosh, someone finally asked this. I think I've like only answered this question one time.
All right.
Okay, so when I was like in seventh grade soccer, I started doing it because my shoelaces never came untied, like ever. Like, I don't know why, what it is, like, if it's just because they're not like getting pulled on from like the outside, but I just wrap it around my ankle and then tie it regular from the front, and they've never come untied. And so I just like, after, because I played college soccer as well, I did it in college soccer. And all right, now like when I run and stuff too, I do that all the time, and people see it and are like, yeah, why? I actually think it's cool when people notice it, because it's like a little detail that.
Yeah. Like, well, I never noticed, and I messaged back the guy, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, go look at the photos. And he sent me one of your photos from your Instagram, and then I looked at another photo and you had it again. So, well, there you go, Danny, you got the answer. Yeah, there you go.
If anyone wants to try it, I swear it works. I don't know why it works.
You know what? I think I'm going to try it, actually, see if it does work.
Now I'm a trend starter.
Great.
There you go. All right. Alex Galvez Frodo says, are you going to do a meet and greet in California?
I guess I'd be up to my manager, but I'm like terrified to do a meet and greet because I'm afraid nobody would come. So that's like my biggest, like, because I've seen that happen to people, and like I have had like secondhand embarrassment and start like tearing up, and like I just couldn't put that anxiety on myself.
You know what? That is tough. And I'll tell you, maybe 5 years ago, there were a couple of UFC fighters doing a meet and greet at a local supplement store. And I'm at work, and my buddy and I were like, okay, we're going to go like see these guys, right? Because it's really cool. We get to see them. So we left work early to get there early, because we're like, I don't know, how early do you have to get to line up to meet these guys? And then we get there, gosh, and there's nobody. And we're like, oh, okay, wait, maybe we're here way too early. So we left, got a drink, we come back half an hour early, nobody. And then we're like,
it just hurts my feelings so bad for them. Like,
and then they came in like a limo. They came out and went, we're there. And there was nobody. There's nobody. So they go in and my buddy and I are like, what do we do? Like, do we still walk in? And then there was like three people at the door. And then so you walked in and you got to meet them. They were the nicest guys. I mean, like super, super nice. I don't want to say their names because, like you said, Elise, it's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, please don't say their names. Please don't say it for them.
But get to meet them. And they would like spend so much time with you because there was nobody else. Like, yeah, I hear you on that, Elise. That is a tough one. But I feel like there's some sort of marketing problem, because anybody is going to want to come see you or come see famous fighters. Obviously, there's a market for it. I mean, it's up to them to get people to come out, though, right?
Man, it's like getting stood up for like high school prom. Like, that's the worst.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
I can't do it. Like, no. Oh, this all right. Sucks.
How about, okay, this one.
So funny.
This is from Aaron S2. This is my wife that I feed her some questions because sometimes I want to know. The question is, should B and Nguyen have been given Ritu's spot? Do you know what I'm talking about? Should she have been given Ritu's spot? And for those that don't know, there was a girl
she
that
didn't even win that fight. Hold on.
Oh, okay. So you don't think, okay, but technically she won. Should she have been given the spot? But no?
I should be nice. I should, like, God, please help me be a nice person right now.
All right.
No, she should not have, well, for one, like, she wasn't even asked to be in the tournament. So there's her one. And then, like, the fact that they didn't even put her in after that.
After the fact.
Because she, like, I'm pretty sure she asked either on the microphone or in a post-fight interview, like, right away that she mm-hmm. should be in it. I just think that, like, personally, I don't like her attitude. She trains at a gym that, like, I used to train at. And, like, she's pretty cocky and stuff. And the fact that she didn't, I thought was hilarious because I was just like, you literally just asked, like, in front of the whole world. And they still were like, let's go through our list and find anyone else to be in there.
I mean, okay, hold on. I thought you said you don't want to trash talk people, Elise. You're getting...
That was my nice version.
That was the nice version? Okay. My manager's
going to fire me after this.
Don't worry. Your manager's not watching this. It's fine.
He told me he's going to.
Okay. Well, hello, Elise's manager. The thing about 1FC, though, that you raised is that their judging is different. They don't judge round by round. So people that don't know this, they don't judge round by round. They judge the overall fight. So that means, you know, in B's defense, she was really winning that third round pretty hard. And that's
not,
and then
not by a 10-8, though. Even if you just
but it doesn't but it,
round, you cannot get taken down that many times and win a fight. I don't care if you're scoring the
but
whole
didn't,
fight.
All right. Well, we can't argue this whole thing, Elise. But the question is, knowing that 1FC, though, judges differently, will that change the way you approach fights? Because you can't win the first two rounds and then take it easy. Not that you do that, but.
Not really, because, like, in my head, even, like, I never trust my corner, even when they say, like, you're winning the fight. Like, in my head, if I hear, like, you know when you get tagged and you hear the audience go like, hey, like that's me losing the fight. Like I just completely got, you know, like, so I feel like not really, because in my head I'm always like, I always fight like I'm down rounds. Because the only fight that I've ever lost, like my corner was telling me I was winning. And like, so I don't think I'll ever in like, right after the fight, he was like, you won. And then I looked like an idiot when I was like, what the heck, when I lost. So,
Yeah.
Elise, you know, some of the faces that you make, it's like the face that you make when, you know, the nurse in charge goes, hey, Elise, you're picking up a new admission at 6:30. You're just about to leave for your shift. I can see it in your face. You're like, oh, gosh, her again. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're like, oh my gosh, please don't make me do this. Like, you don't want to say no. You're like, I have to.
Yeah.
Like, I have no other choice. I have to do this now.
That's it.
Elise, you kind of hit on another thing. Like, we're just going with this interview and we're going all over. But at the beginning, Prince said one of the things we were going to talk about was the importance of having a brutally honest corner. And the reason why we were going to talk about that today is because Paige's corner at BKFC must have been telling her that she was winning, because she definitely didn't seem to come out in the end thinking she won. And she seemed so confident she won, right? So it seems weird they told her. Even last weekend, the Corey Sandhagen fight, he kind of took the fifth round. He didn't push the pressure. He said later in interviews he didn't push it. I think that's because maybe his corner was telling him. So for you, and you're saying you've had that experience, do you now tell your corner, hey, look, you got to be brutally honest with me. I almost don't even want you to tell me I'm winning if I'm winning. Or like, what is your relationship with your corner like when it comes to that?
I think the only time that like they've told me is when I've asked, and just like I have asked, but with bare knuckle, I know her boyfriend was telling her that she won, but like I was sitting next to Hector, like asking, did she win that round? Did you? Because like I don't know that sport that well. Like I thought Rachel was hitting, but I could see, I don't know. I knew that she won, but I was still like, did she win that round? Did she win that round? Because it's not my expertise. So I mean, like probably if I was like in his position, but you know, he's got to tell her something. But oh my gosh, I hope you didn't hear that. That was my dog just making a huge noise. but for me, especially since it's like the whole fight, I would rather them just tell me like the adjustments that need to be made, because you kind of already know when you're in there. I feel like unless it's super, super close, like, you know, if you're winning, you're losing a round. Like that's how I was kind of shocked that Paige was so upset and acted the way she did when she lost, because you can't be backing up, getting hit by overhand rights over and over and being like, I won that fight. Like, unless your corner is like, oh, forget it, you still won. It's like, how did you see that and that? I didn't see that. But I do like, if I ask, I would like to know. But usually my corner, and if I ask, I'd rather them spend the 1 minute like just telling me the adjustments we need to make instead.
Nice. That's smart. That's really good. And that shows like an experienced fighter, right, Prince? Like someone who tells their corner, hey, this is what I need to hear from you. I don't want to hear any other kind of crap. You know, it is funny. At least sometimes we hear like corners and they're just like, you're doing great. You're doing great. And you're like, are you going to give them any constructive feedback here? Like what's going on?
Or it's like, they're not doing great. They are not doing great.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm all about being transparent. So I'd be like, at least if I was in your corner, I'd be like, you're sucking right now. Pick it up right now.
I would probably start crying in the corner.
No. That's not the response I wanted. No. You're good. You're all right. You're gonna do it. Come on.
You're doing amazing.
Because I feel like you do know when you're losing a fight. So I would want like maybe them to be like, I mean, it's different though with one, because you can't just be like, hey, you need this round to win. So what are they gonna say? Because you really need to push it this round and stuff like that. But like, if I'm losing the fight, it's like, that's already a known thing between us. It doesn't need to come out now for everyone else.
Everybody's unique.
But you know what? I got an idea now. So if I was in your corner and I was like trying to amp you up and get you motivated, I'd be like, I wouldn't even say a word. I'd show a picture of your dog. Like this.
I know, and I'd be like, you're right. You'd be like, this for Bubs.
For Bubs. Right. Gotta do it for Bubs.
For Bubs.
Yeah. All right. The last fan question before we get onto some other topics is Muskie_MMA. This is actually a good Instagram page. They do some good memes. Muskie MMA says, it's your debut. Do you think you'll be overlooked? And could that play to your advantage for the whole tournament?
Yes, because Itsuki has already talked about next round in the tournament. Like, really already talked about her in the finals because she wants to face, I don't remember the other girl's name, but her and the other girl who's on the other side of the bracket have had like some beef going, and they've already been going back at it with each other. And I'm kind of like, are you okay? Let's like not even think about the first round, right? So that definitely shows to me she's 100% past the first round, since she's talking about her finals match, which for one takes the pressure off of me, because like I guess I'm going in there she's expecting to win easily, and I just think that she is looking past me. I've said that in other interviews, which she hasn't fought in the level of caliber that I am yet. One has done a good job as a promotion of building her up, getting her fans, giving her easier fights than her record shows. It's not like she's gone in and beat the best. Now she's undefeated. So, I think that it does give me an advantage. And she's looking past me, and it will be a good fight between us.
Nice.
Alex, I think the only way for you to, you know, make a big stamp into the Grand Prix is going in there, knocking her out in 1 minute, and just leaving the cage, not even staying for the interview. Just leave, just push the cage door open and go to your backstage, and that's it. Game over.
Yeah, just a total walkout. Just
that's all. They're like a little savage. This is not even staying for the post interview. What's going on?
No.
I have had some, like, I'm not gonna, I've said it a few times in like some interviews, like, and I want to be honest if I said it didn't bother me, like, how much one has promoted her versus like me or even like their main fighters in the tournament. And after I said that, after like a couple of interviews, they posted like one photo of me, and I was like, oh wow, thanks. But
you know why, Elise? Don't worry about it. The minute you get that first win, they will have no recourse aside from posting about you and displaying you. Like right now, you're a bit of an unknown to the market and to their fan base. But once you get that first win, it's over. It's going to be all Lil Savage all over 1FC's media. It's going to be crazy because you can see how they do get behind people, right? So once you get that win, it's like it's all over.
Which is like what motivates me too, just to like, you know, kind of like dehype the hype train that they've put behind her. So it's just part of the game, and I understand why one does it and why they, you know, it's smart promotion on their part. But, you know, I'm just excited to prove all of her fans wrong that she's going to be the Grand Prix champ when I don't think she's going to get out of the first round. So.
She's not, Prince. It's all over.
I'm excited for you because I can see the, you know, the confidence. I feel like you're gonna go in there and like, I'm gonna show you something. Someone's gonna get a flying knee.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gonna be as easy as she thinks.
Jeez.
No, not at all. Elise, are you watching the Olympics at all? Are you an Olympics watcher?
I don't have cable because like, I only have Wi-Fi and like the regular like Netflix, Hulu. So like, I only watch like the reruns on my phone it is. But I do like love watching the gymnastics. And,
yeah, of course.
So I've been watching like the gymnastics like reruns, but only like the highlights. I wish I could watch the full thing.
All right. Because one of the things
not living at home.
Yeah. One of the things that we wanted to talk about was the Olympics are on now, and it just like watching Olympics this year is so weird because there's no crowd. So, I mean, when you're watching highlights, maybe it's not that bad, but man, when you're watching it now live, there's no crowd, there's no cheering. The camera can't like cut to the crowd and show people like going crazy. It's kind of like last week on the podcast, we had Brian Bam Bam Barbarena, and we were asking him about like, hey, when you got to go fight in the UFC Apex, there's no crowd. Like, how does that feel for you? You know? So what do you think, like going into 1FC, I'm assuming they're waiting until they can have a crowd to be in the event with you? Like, and would that matter to you?
Because Singapore is so strict, they haven't told us. They did tell us that we can only have one corner, so I'm guessing no crowd. Otherwise, we could probably bring two. And it's definitely going to be different, but to me, it doesn't really matter because, like, even when like the cage door shuts, it's just like you're so like focused. But I haven't fought with the crowd yet, so I won't know until like it happens how like it actually feels. I do like that I'll be able to hear my corner better though. I do like that.
Yeah. Will it be different that you can't understand her corner? Have you ever fought someone who was speaking a different language and you couldn't hear their corner, or does that matter to you?
I think. I fought a girl that her corner spoke Spanish, but my grandma, who recently passed, spoke Spanish. So I knew like words that were coming, and then I was like so focused on like thinking of what the words were, that I was just like, oh whatever, like I don't even care. But it was like early in my pro career, so I ended up just finishing the fight. But I do remember like thinking like, how can I translate this? So, but at least with her, like, I won't even know, like, anything. So, it doesn't really bother me.
Right.
At least two words for you. Google Translate. Just have that in the back pocket. Like, oh, okay, got it. Yep, okay. Go for the leg. Yeah,
overhand right.
Got it. Thank you. Okay.
Nice. Yeah, nice. Elise, before we go on, before we get on to our last segment where we do a fantasy fight that we're going to get your help on, is there anything that you'd like to say or anything that anyone that you'd like to thank or anything like that?
Well, I should start off by saying, like, I don't mean to, like bash Bea Nguyen, because I know she's, like, works, trains really hard and stuff, and, like, I could eventually, like, see maybe us being, like, even teammates here in the U.S., like, because it's kind of, like, the U.S. versus everyone over there. So, you know, it's just, like, I feel, like, almost kind of just, like, rubbed the wrong way with like when she said like she thought that she deserved to represent the U.S. instead of me and all of that, but I guess I get why she feels like that, and I'm not gonna, you know, say anything bad about her, and you know, I wish her the best of luck in her career, and I heard that she still could be an alternate, like if somebody gets hurt, so like,
well, there's still an open spot. Like, they haven't filled that spot, right?
I guess so. I'm just not allowed to tell you who.
Oh, so you know that it's filled. Okay.
Yeah, I guess I'm not supposed to, but I actually didn't even hear that from 1FC. It was just like talk at the gym. So, someone just told me, and I was just like, oh, I don't care, whatever.
Yeah.
Because it's, again, not who I'm fighting first. So I don't even look into it that much. I haven't even studied like other girls on the other side of the bracket at all, just because I'm like very focused on like just the first round. Right. But, and you know, I also just, I want to thank, like, you know, my gym here in Miami, MMA Masters, my coach, Daniel and Caesar, has put in a lot of time, especially with my fight getting moved. I feel like I've been in the longest fight camp of my life. Like, I got to go home for like a quick little 2 weeks and then back into fight camp, and my mom and dad back home in Michigan, and my sister. And most of all, I want to thank my manager, Brian Butler, through Sucker Punch. Like, if it wasn't for him, I honestly wouldn't have any of this, because, you know, the connections he made that got me noticed and put me on the big stage at Invicta has, you know, he's been the biggest part in this. That's how I know Ashley. So I wouldn't even be on this podcast right now if it wasn't for him. So just a huge thank you to him. And I hope, you know, when the fight does happen, I can make them and my team super proud and everything.
Yeah, that's awesome, Elise. And yeah, no, and we want to say thank you to Ashley Evans Smith too, actually, because she's the one that helped us get in touch with you as well. We had her on our podcast, and she's amazing. Like, she's just such a great person. So she's doing good things.
Awesome. I was a little skeptical about doing her podcast, but I was like, all right, I'll do it. For you, Ashley. I trust you.
And who knows, Elise? I mean, you might be the person that actually advocates to have Adam Waite happen in the UFC. So you got to earn the credit. You got to, you know, earn up for the credit for that, right? Because you're the one who said it first on Ashley's podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I hope Dana knows that. Like, he lately hasn't had me bugging him too much since he knows I'm with one. But before that, like, every couple of weeks, I was like, so did you think about it?
Yeah. No, I mean, look, the Adam Waite division is so exciting. There's a fight going on this weekend where Victoria Lee is fighting, right? She's 16 years old, the sister of Angela Lee. So I think she's fighting this weekend at one of their events. And I know that they have a bunch of Adam Waite. So, I mean, they've got a great roster there. So we're so excited to see you fight. Like, it's going to be exciting once you get your name out there, once you get that first win, then the second win, then the third win, then the title, right? Like, as you continue to move along, it's like huge things for you. And it's going to be such a great thing to witness how you grow overseas, right? Like, it's just a whole different thing. So very exciting.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
So, Lisa, since you've gotten a Netflix account, so these are a couple movies for you to watch since you're at home. Yeah. Okay, so Warrior. Okay, you know Warrior.
Warrior.
Yeah, Warrior. Yep. Blood. You've seen that one. Bloodsport. And Creed. You got to watch those three. Those three movies, You're good to go after you watch those three. You go.
Hold on. I'll probably start with Bloodsport just because you brought it up first.
Yes.
I would go Bloodsport, then the Blackpink documentary. then
I do. Creed. I love documentaries. I don't know why. So good. I love documentaries.
Yeah, I'm not even embarrassed of saying I love that documentary. That was a good one. All right, Elise, we do want to mention one thing before we get to the last segment. We had on someone, if you don't mind, we just had someone on. And so when this airs, this will be Friday. But tomorrow we did a bonus episode. Oh, that's huge on the screen. We did a bonus episode. There's a girl out in Toronto here. She's running a fundraising event in support of Indigenous awareness. So she's running a fundraiser in Ajax, Ontario. So if you're hearing this on Friday, please go support her on Saturday. It's for a great cause. And so you can listen to the podcast. It's just a quick one, like 15 minutes, and go listen and go support her. That would be really great. And we're selling our shirts, our t-shirts, and our tank tops. So if you want one of these beautiful shirts, Elise, look at that. It looks good. Yeah, it looks good. Thank you. So if you want one of those, hit us up on our Instagram. Just DM us or send us an email at fightinsightpodcast@gmail.com. And we can get we are selling these guys, tank tops and t-shirts. Elise, the last segment that we do on our show is where we do a fantasy fight. And so we put up two fighters against one another, and we always do it based on our guest. So we try and pick like a topic based on our guest. And so we mentioned it before. We didn't talk a lot about it because I know you talk about it elsewhere, but you're a big motocross. What do you say? Motocross racer? Enthusiast? How do you say it?
Rider. I don't know.
Motocross rider? Okay. Yeah. You've been doing that your whole life?
Since I was 9.
Oh, okay. Well, like your whole life then. That's pretty crazy. Wow. That's awesome. And you did it in Michigan, and now you're still doing it in Miami?
My dad won't let me bring my bike down until after my fight. So I'm going to bring one bike down after my fight, and then I'll keep one bike in Michigan.
How many bikes do you have?
Right now, just two. I have a 250 and a 125.
Okay.
Nice. Wow. So wait, if you don't have your bike here, are you still going to like motocross events in Miami just to like stay in the
thing? They literally have nothing here.
Okay. Like, so
yeah.
So when you
they
bring
have
your
one
bike,
tiny track.
Oh,
they have
okay.
Tiny
okay.
track, but I heard it's like super, super hard, like concrete, and if you just fall over, like you'll break a bone. So I don't know if I'll bring it down after hearing that, but
I feel like Anderson is making a good decision here then and not allowing you to bring your bike. Yeah.
He's kind of strict. Like he locked my bikes up with chains when I went home for 2 weeks, like literally took the locks and wouldn't let, like, I even had friends try. He let me like go to a small track, but I wanted this thing called like Red Bud. That's like the biggest track on the 4th of July. And they were all locked up. So that was awful. But he's just, you know, concerned. He's just concerned, Dad.
But it's because you're fighting, he doesn't want you to get injured before your fight.
Yeah, because like people are always like, how do you let your daughter fight? And he was like, are you kidding? I would much rather have my daughter fight a 105-pound girl than ride those bikes that weigh twice as much as her. He's like, I get way more nervous when she goes to the dirt bike track than fighting someone in a cage.
Nice, nice.
Okay, I guess that makes sense.
All right, so you have this great hobby, and again, guys, you know, follow Elise Anderson on her Instagram. We'll put your Instagram handle on the show notes, Elise, so that people can see it. Or if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can follow. But definitely follow along. A lot of motocross stuff on your Instagram, which is cool. But in light of that, because you have that cool hobby, our fight on site is the hobby edition.
Yes. Hobby.
So, we are going to pick two fighters that have hobbies, and we're going to put them up against one another. Then we have a simulator. Elise, you're going to be very impressed with it. And we ask people to come to our Instagram on Saturday to vote for the winner of who they think would win in this fantasy matchup. All right. You got to not take size into account. Like you kind of just like, you know, don't take the size into account because then I'll lose for sure. Yeah. Okay. Prince, I think you should go first, my friend.
All right. Listen, so my pick for Fight On Site for a hobby edition, in honor of Elise, I've got John Jones. And the reason why I picked him is because he is a gun enthusiast. This man enjoys guns. He actually does it because he enjoys the competition and the creativity of being able to modify your weapon. Like, you know, put a muzzle on, put the scope on, like even the barrel, all of that stuff. He enjoys all that. It's not even the fact that he owns the gun. It's not even that. He just enjoys the competition. He's in the gun range. He's training. He's got all these like John Wick type of obstacles that he goes through. It's just awesome. And I enjoy guns. Unfortunately, in Canada, it's not easy to own a gun. So, but I mean, yeah, I've got John Jones just because, you know, it's just something that's cool, right? Something that he enjoys, right? So I've got John Jones for my Fight On Site. Who do you got, Tim?
Elise, have you ever shot a gun before?
Yeah, I'm just not very good at it.
All right, well, still, hey, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, my fighter has a way cooler hobby, Elise. So, you know, get ready to be impressed. I've got Alex Moreno.
Oh, geez.
And look at that Lego. Oh boy. So flyweight champion. He is a Lego enthusiast. And anytime you look at photos, he's just got piles and piles of Lego all around him. Seems like a super nice guy, very friendly, whatever, but he is a huge Lego enthusiast. We've talked about him before and this hobby of his. So that is my fighter for Fight On Site.
I mean, he fights like a sniper, though.
Oh, that is right. Yeah, no, he's amazing. Have you ever met him, Elise?
I have not.
No?
I would like to one day. I actually walked by him at the PI once, but I don't call that meeting. I was just like, oh, shit, there he is.
Was that after he was champ or before?
Nope, it was before.
Okay. Well, now definitely if you see him, you got to like go say hello and get a photo with the champ, man.
Yeah, I still try to not fangirl out when I'm there because they're, you know, but my manager always gives me kind of shit because when I saw Sean O'Malley and he was like, don't do it. And I was like, I have to. Can I please get a picture?
Okay. That's cool though, man. No, I thought it was the opposite. I thought you were going to say your manager's mad at you for not taking photos with them and stuff because it's always cool when you see photos.
He just like rolls his eyes. He's like, oh, you're such a fangirl. I'm like, I love Sean O'Malley.
All right. So, Prince, you're going to do the Fight On Site, Fight In Site, Fight Simulator. And Elise, we're going to need your help for this too. So,
Elise, listen to this. Okay. All right, listen. We're going to put these two fighters in a fight simulator. This thing is a $2 million piece of equipment. I've put a lot of my money into this. Elise, I'm telling you, all of our hospital budget has gone into the simulator, everything. So I'm going to need your help on this one, okay? So I'm going to need you to do the sound effects. All right, here we go.
I mean, I'll try.
At least I know you can do it. I believe in you.
I don't even know like what sound effects to make. I should have seen like a preview. This is where
the improv comes in.
Oh, here we go.
All right. For John Jones, we've got Thanos.
Do you know who that is? Yes, Thanos. All right. It's a sticker on a popsicle stick, Elise.
I do see him now. I do see him.
All right. Good.
Actually, on a pen. For Brandon, avatar, for Brandon, we've got.
I hope he's super tiny. Oh, he's way too big.
I know.
It should have been Ant-Man or something.
I'm sorry, Elise, man. I'm still waiting for my Amazon package to come. It's still on delay. It's on route. So hopefully it's coming, okay? I think it's halfway through. Okay. I think it's halfway through Florida. So if you see it along the way, can you tell them to hurry it up? Because, man, it's really messing up our podcast. Here we go.
All right, hold on. So now, Elise, what you have to do, they will battle it out on screen, but you have to do the sound effects of them fighting.
Okay, and you have to help.
Ready?
Yeah.
Pa, 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 pa.
You gotta go slower.
Oh.
Oh, it's taking over. Oh, no. That was
there we go.
Oh, no.
At least we have to end.
Brandon
is gone. We are left with John Jones.
And just as fast as that knockout happened, that's exactly what's going to happen when Ali steps in the cage. Watch out now. Oh, here we go.
That is excellent. At least that's the extent of the excitement of that segment. But you did a good job with sound effects, so thank you.
Thanks. I've never done that before. And I think my dog threw it behind me, if that helps. Sound effects.
Yeah, I thought I heard something extra in the background. I'm like, oh, what was that? Okay, that's great. We needed that.
Yeah. She wanted to help.
Yeah, no, it's great. Elise, before we go, or Prince, before we go, Prince, is there anything that you wanted to say?
Okay, so first of all, I wanted to give actually a shout out to our boy, Brian Bam Bam Barberena, who's going to be fighting July 31st. We'll be fighting against Jason Witt in the UFC Fight Night Hall versus Strickland card. So, Brian, good luck. You got this. And also, guys, we have a free giveaway. We're going to be collaborating with Markham Bulldog. We're going to be giving away some supplements. If you go to our page, tag three people, subscribe on our YouTube, and to get additional entries. And so check it out. It's a great giveaway. We've got a lot of good things that's going to be handing out. So check it out on our IG page. And also, actually, I just wanted to add, you can follow us, subscribe at YouTube, Fight Inside Podcast. You can follow us at Fight Inside Podcast on Instagram, and you can listen to us at Spotify, Fight Inside Podcast. Yeah, yeah.
All right. And last thing is next week, I wanted to announce our guest on the show. Our guest next week is a Canadian-born fighter. He is a flyweight in the UFC. He just won his fight on July 17th. It is Malcolm X Gordon. So he will be on the podcast. We're so excited to have a Canadian UFC fighter. That's crazy for us. So very excited. Elise, thank you so much for coming. You don't know how excited we were to have you. The fans were excited. We got so many questions. I know we didn't get to them all, but the fans were so excited to see you and get to hear you. We're very glad we understand.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, we're glad that we understand the shoelace thing that was really bothering us. So we're very happy with that. Elise, before we go, is there anything that you'd like to say?
Just thanks for having me, and keep you guys updated on the exact date of my fight when it happens. And go USA.
Yes.
Yeah,
Elise, we're so excited to see you fight, man. It's going to be so exciting. I'm so excited that you get to do this in the overseas in ONE FC. I think this is going to be a great opportunity for you. So congratulations, and thank you for everything. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys, so much.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Have a good night.
Care, guys.
See you, guys.